So my name is John, and I'm one of the interns here who goes to the local seminary. So this morning we're going to look at Psalm 123. And the Psalms are a great place for us to have our minds and our hearts shaped by the truth. It seems that unconsciously, as we live our lives, we can have our minds and our hearts shaped by many things, many of them that are not true. And so one of the helpful places we can look to in the scriptures is the Psalms. They're written for the people of God to sing praise to Him, but also giving us a voice to worship God. It also shapes us as we seek to understand these truths and to bring our minds and our hearts together with God's word to be shaped by the truth. So let's just pray as we come to God's word. Oh Father, we come before you as your servants, and Lord, we want to hear from your word. I pray now that you would help us by your Spirit. Pray that you would help me to speak clearly. And Lord, I pray that we would that your Spirit would be with us so that we would all hear from your word and that we would be built up and encouraged by you. And so, Lord, we are dependent on you for all things, always, but now especially, and we ask for your help. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So turn with me, if you haven't already, to Psalm 123. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in the heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. So you may not realize this, but I really hate the fact that I'm quite slow. Often I'm not really fast on my feet. When there's new information coming in, I'm the last one to figure out what's going on. I was recently at my uncle's house, and he was showing us video clips from when we were young. And so there's this clip of me as like a six-year-old down by the beach, and there's all these other cousins around, and my uncle is playing a game with us, and he's saying, you race down to the water and touch your forehead on the water and then come back. And all the boys run down into the water, and then there's John, who's there kind of afterwards, figuring out what's going on, and then running after to try and keep up with the others. And I watch that video, and it frustrates me. Frustrates me a little bit, because I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the one who's left behind. I want to keep up. And it seems like at times I resolve that I'm never going to be slow. I'm never going to be the one left behind. And so I look to do everything as well as I possibly can so that no one can ever ask again, like, why are you behind? And I think it's a struggle that many of us have, not necessarily with being slow, but that we have a sense that maybe we're not really worthwhile. And so then we look in all the wrong places to try and make ourselves not feel like we're worthless. And so we're looking everywhere to take away that sense that we don't have value. And I think this psalm is a great corrective that turns our eyes again towards God. The entire psalm has a focus that's not on me, but is God-focused. And so this morning, I just want to hopefully remind us of something that that we probably have learned in the past, but maybe forgotten, that we should look to God for mercy. We should look to God for mercy. And hopefully you can see that through the psalm. If you look there in verse 1, the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to you, whose throne is in heaven. He's focusing on God. And then in verse 2, as servants look to the hands of their master, or as slaves look to the hand of their master. So this focus again, this looking to God. And then in verse 3, the psalmist cries out, have mercy on us, O God, have mercy on us. So this entire psalm is directed towards God. It is focused on Him. But what does it mean to look to God for mercy? Well, it means that there are going to be times in our lives that we focus our attention not on ourselves or on other people or on other things, but there will be times when we focus on God as the one from whom deliverance comes. That word mercy implies that we're waiting for deliverance from some struggle or some strife. But why should we look to mercy? Why should we look to God for mercy? Why is that what the psalmist is demonstrating for us? Why would you look to God for mercy? Well, first of all, we look to God for mercy because God is our strong God. And we see that in verses 1 and 2. So in verse 1, it says, I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. And so the psalmist is lifting up his eyes. He's lifting up his eyes to a God who is enthroned in the heavens. So the view of the world that the psalmist has is that there are only two things. There's God and everything else. There's God and everything that God has made. And so this God who dwells in the heavens, who dwells above, He's created all things. And now He sits and He rules over all things. Now, this God is our God and He has strength. He has all strength and all power. If God can make the universe by speaking, is He not strong enough for us? Is He not strong? Strong to save and strong to care for us. God is the Creator who sits enthroned in the heavens. And then in verse 2, he continues and he says, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. So here is this beautiful picture in the psalm of a servant or a slave looking to the hand of their master. Now, for some of us, that word slave or servant raises some issues about whether God condones slavery. And I would just say that's not the case. Just because it's mentioned here doesn't mean that God gives the thumbs up to all kinds of slavery. But if that's a problem for you, then I'd be happy to talk afterwards, or you can ask Ron when he gets back from holiday. But what this picture does is it gives us a posture for the people of God as they look towards God. So you can imagine the servants in the Near East, they live with their master and they're looking to him. And what is it you would look to the master for? Well, perhaps it's instructions. They're looking at this hand, maybe he's going to raise a finger and say, this is what you should do. Or perhaps for protection. In the ancient world, the slaves were generally not supposed to be armed. And so the only way that you could be safe is you are dependent on God. And maybe it's for provision of needs. This is where your bread comes from the hand of the master. Well, we can't be 100% sure what the slaves themselves are looking for, but we can be sure of is that God is strong. God here is in a position of authority. Christianity is not really a democracy, because we are as servants, we are as slaves, and God is the one in authority. He is the one who cares for us, and He is the one who has the ability to provide for all our needs. This is our God. And as we come to the end of verse 2, it's actually the first time that we find out who the psalmist is looking for. You'll notice in verse 1, we're looking to this one who is enthroned in the heavens. And only at the end of verse 2, we find out who we're looking to. And it says, "So our eyes look to the Lord our God." So this is, if you look in your Bible, you'll notice it's, most translations will have the capital, L-O-R-D, and that indicates God's personal name, Yahweh or Jehovah. This is the God who revealed himself to Israel. He came to Moses and says, "This is my name." And he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so the psalmist is invoking the Lord's name, and this is somebody they've heard of before. This is the Lord our God, the covenant God, the God who has saved them out of Egypt. And perhaps at this time that the psalm's written, the God who had also brought them out of Babylon. This is the God who was strong enough, his mighty hand was strong enough to take them out of Egypt. And so they are looking to the strong hand of God. This is their strong God. And this is the same God that we have. Our God is strong. And He is strong to save us. And He cares for us also as a covenant people. For some reason, my illustrations are coming from childhood a lot today. But when I was about, I think, 10 years old, our family went on a little trip through a cave. It's called Cave Stream. It's a limestone cave. There's a creek that runs through it. And at the end of the creek, there are some falls that we now call Paul's Falls. There's a waterfall. It comes down into a pool. And I'm about 10, and the only way you can get out is by climbing up a rope that has these knots in it. You climb up, and then you get on the ledge, and then you're out. And because I was still just a little guy, I was on the back of our friend called Paul. So I've got my hands around his neck, and he's the one climbing up the rope. But as I get near the top, there's Dad with his hands out, waiting for me to get to the top. And so I know what to do. I know where I should be looking. And I see Dad's hands, and they're strong, so I may as well jump up there. And so I jump up into Dad's hands, and because his hands were strong, and because I was focused on him, I got safely onto the ledge. Because I was so focused on that, I didn't realize that I had actually stood on Paul's hand. So he fell down into the water below. But I didn't know that till afterwards. And the reason is that I was so focused. I was focused on the strong hands of my father that he was going to catch me and keep me safe. I knew that he was strong and that he cared for me. He was my strong father. And so it is this picture of us as Christians. We look to the hand of our Father. We look to the Lord our God. And we're so tempted, aren't we, just to look in all the wrong places in order to not feel like we're worthless or that our lives are not pointless. Perhaps you're in a job or you've lost a job, or you've been in a job that just doesn't give life to you, and it can make you feel like you've got no value. You get the sense, this is worthless. Am I worthless? And my question for you is, where are you looking? Where are you looking? There's so many places you can turn to try and deal with that feeling. You can throw yourself into work, or you can find friends and say, "Friends, tell me that I'm awesome. Tell me that I'm worthwhile." Maybe you take up some hobby to distract yourself, or you can turn to food, hoping that feeling will take away the sense that you're not worth Wow. My encouragement for us this morning is we've got to look to God for mercy. God made the entire universe. Is he not strong enough for us in our struggles? God cares for us. God cares even for this church. Jesus said to us, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We have a God who is strong, and so we should look to his hand. And God has saved us. He brought Israel out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and he also sent Christ to die on a tree for us. And he didn't stay there, who was raised from the dead. If God has strength to raise us from the dead, shouldn't we look to him? Shouldn't we cry out to him for mercy? He's done all these things, and there's more. We're hoping for him to come back and make all things right. So where are we looking? Where are we looking? We should look to our God for mercy, because he is strong. He is our strong God. And so we see in verses 1 and 2 that God is our strong God. And then in the second half of the psalm, we see the second reason that we should turn to God, that we should look to him for mercy. And the second reason is this, and it's quite simple, is because we are not strong. We are not strong. Look with me at the end of verse 2. What is it that we're looking to God for? For mercy. And then in verse 3 it says, have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. This is the cry of someone who knows that they don't have it altogether. This is the cry of desperation. A plea for mercy is not sitting down at the table negotiating about how God's going to look after us. This is the repetition of a cry of desperation, Lord, have mercy on us. It's something granted. Mercy is given by God out of his grace and kindness towards us. And so we cry out, Lord, have mercy on us. I don't have strength within myself to cope with this, and so I look to you. But why is it that we so desperately need mercy? Well, in this case, the psalmist is struggling with a sense of contempt. He's struggling with the contempt of the proud. And so it says at the end of verse 3, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. The picture here, it's strange language. It's normally the word that's used is often talking, it's overflowing. So it'll talk about someone who has plenty. It's like they've got too much food. You know, when you've eaten too much and you feel a little bit ill because you've taken on so much. But in this case, it's not plenty of food, but it's plenty of contempt. So the psalmist is stuffed full of contempt. I think the ESV says we've had more than enough of contempt. We're overflowing with a sense of contempt. And what is this contempt? Well, contempt is somebody looking at a person who's made in the image of God and saying they have no value. They're worthless. They're valueless. And you notice they're sitting, they're the proud, the arrogant, who are not there in the trenches with you, but they're sitting and they're saying to the psalmist, you're worthless. You're a joke. They scorn him. They ridicule the people of God. It's quite different from somebody who is with you in the trenches giving you criticism that you need. This is somebody sitting in a high place looking down on you and saying, you're a joke. And so we see that in the second half of the psalm that we are weak. We can't deal with this ourselves. We can't look within ourselves and find the strength to cope with this. And then the psalm ends. I don't know if anybody else noticed, but it feels like it's just, that's it. For mathematicians, we're frustrated because we never get to the equals sign, it feels like. It's just finished. And I think that's true to our reality. This is not, you feel the contempt of others, here's your answer, now you're done, carry on. This is true to our experience that we are in what is called the already and the not yet. Christ has come, but we're waiting. We're still struggling in a world of sin. We're stuck here. But the psalm gives us a posture as we wait for God, and a Godward focus as we wait for Him to come back. For a time, I lived on the west coast of the South Island, which has a lot of big waves, and the guy I was staying with was really into surfing. So it was every time I got home from work, I couldn't go sit on the couch. He said, come on, let's go surfing. And I was I'm not a good surfer at all. And I remember at one point trying to catch a wave. We went out on a big day and it's stormy and I'm halfway up the wave and I thought I was about to come down the face, but instead it's twice as high as me. And there was that sick feeling of like, I'm in trouble. And it's called, they call it ragdolling. I'm not sure if that's an international term or not, but it's the sense of when you're in a wave and your limbs are out of control and you know at that moment, and I knew at that moment, I'm completely weak. This wave has just taken me. I'll just hold my breath and wait until somewhere I come out of this dark hole of the ocean. And there was just that, there's no arguing at that point, oh no, I'm strong enough. I can handle, there's just no question. And this is a small wave on the coast of a small island in the universe. We don't have power within ourselves. We are not the strong ones in the universe, but we have a strong God. And so because we're not strong, because we're not able to control all things, because we are not the ones in control, we have to look to God for mercy. At some point in our lives, and for many of us this has already happened, we're going to annoy the heck out of someone. We're going to really, really frustrate someone. And you can imagine that someone is just furious with you for something that you've done. And very often you're not going to have a forum to explain yourself. There's not going to be a day in court for many of us. You may never get the chance to defend yourself, and you feel the contempt of others, and maybe they're telling everybody you know that you're the biggest jerk that ever walked the face of the earth. And I think it's at this point that we have to look to God. I'm not strong enough to cope with that sense of contempt from others, let alone strong enough to cope with the sin in my own heart. And so I have to cry out to God for mercy. I have to look to Him for mercy. There's a freedom in this. There's a freedom in being the servant who's looking up. There's a freedom in not being the bigger man and being strong enough to handle everything and saying, Lord, I'm out of my depth. And isn't that what the call of God is on our lives? Isn't that what is the difference between those who are Christians and those who are not? It's those who put their hands up and say, Lord, I'm out of my depth. I can't deal with my sin. I can't deal with the sense of with the sin in the world around me. Lord, I'm out of my depth. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy. And it's not just you decide that one day and you say, have mercy, and you continue. This is an ongoing, this is the way that we live our lives, crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm looking to you, Lord, because I don't have the power to deal with all that happens in this world. So we should look to God for mercy because we're weak, because we're not strong. And I fear for us who overestimate our strength. I don't know if there's a greater tragedy than someone who is too strong, too successful, too talented, so they never come to Christ. They're never on their knees crying out to God because they don't believe that they need Him. They don't see that they are a small and frail, a created person who's sinned and who needs mercy from God. Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So therefore, the only people that are cast out are those who don't come to God, are those who don't look to Him for mercy. And we must continually do so. We're not the strong ones in the room. But some of us know, many of us know that we don't have the strength. We're there. And so we need to hear the encouragement that Christ has gone before us. Christ, who through whom the whole world was made, and He came to earth, and they made Him feel like nothing. He was humiliated. He was spat upon. He was beaten. He who made the whole universe was scorned by the proud. He was shown contempt. And yet God raised Him from the dead. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is able also to bring us through to God. In Hebrews 12:2, we're told that we should look to Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so our hope is that we would, as we look to God, that we would find relief from the contempt around us as we're focused on Him. But it may be a long struggle. But we know that in the new heavens and the new earth, the same that Christ had joy before Him, we have joy set before us. When Christ comes back and things are set to right. It says in 1 Peter 2 that for to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. In the same way that Jesus entrusted Himself to the just judge, so we also ought to. So there's something counterintuitive about this psalm. We read of the contempt of the proud, that is the devaluing of the people of God, but we find that the answer is the mercy of God. It's not that we look to be elevated. If only I was the center of the universe, then things would be right. But instead, it's mercy from God. The answer is God's mercy. It's that God loves us. And so I think that in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be joy and things will be to right, and we'll still be looking as servants. The contempt will be gone, but we will be in the right place in the universe. We're created by God to worship Him. And we sense His love and care for us, and we worship Him, and we say, thank you, Lord. I'm happy to be created by you. I'm happy that I'm weak, but you're strong, and you care for me. Your mercy is more powerful. Your mercy is stronger than the contempt of the proud. You love me, and He loves us. When I was overseas, I went for a walk in the mountains, which I often like to do. So I climbed this mountain by myself. It's quite a tall one. And as I was coming back down, I came across a big mob of animals that we have in New Zealand as well. So I've got like 60 photos of them as I just sat there, just loving it. And then as I came down off the mountain, the clouds came in and it just starts pouring with rain. And it was beautiful. And there's snow around. And it's at that moment, I was just struck with the sense that God is so big and He cares for me. And I was so happy. I was so grateful as I'm singing praise to God by myself with the animals in Switzerland. And I think that's part of the answer is not, I wasn't at that point concerned that I was slow, that I couldn't keep up with my older brothers, or that I was small, or that I wasn't valuable or something. That wasn't the question. I was getting the answer that God cares for us. He cares for his creation. And what's more, he cares for those that he's chosen to set his love upon, those who come to him for mercy. He loves us. God loves us. We sang last week that song, and there's a line from it that I love. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. We must look to God for mercy. He is our strong God, and we are not. Let's pray. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. For we have endured much contempt, we have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. Lord, we thank you for this small psalm, and we thank you for this time that we've had. Lord, I pray that you would have the things that your Spirit would have stick in our hearts. I pray that we would fix our eyes on you. And Lord, I thank you for your care for us as children, and that you are strong enough to save. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.